Warning, the following audio transmission will forever change your outlook on society. You will no longer believe the narrative. You are about to wake up and see things for what they really are. News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Doom Daily Show. Today is April 22nd, 2024. Time is 2200 hours. And for you, it's Tuesday morning. The email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. I hope you guys are having a lovely Tuesday morning, regardless of what you're doing, on your way to work, making your coffee, maybe you're cleaning, maybe you're nursing a hangover. Who knows what you're doing? I do know that you're listening to this show. And that's pretty cool. And you know what you should do? You should be following me on all social media platforms and reaching out to me, because I respond to people, okay? I'm not like these other hosts that just don't give people the time of day. I actually respond when I can, all right? So at Jester Dooms on all social media, share this show out with your friends, your family, maybe people you hate. Just share it out there, man. For those of you guys that listen to the show that are attending Prep Stock stuff is going really well. I haven't checked campsites today on how many were left, but there was only seven left. Last time I checked, there were seven campsites left available. Tickets for the event are still for sale. We're at the point now where it's like, I don't care if people buy any more tickets. I'm really happy with where we're at right now, number-wise. So that's good. You know, the more the merrier, but still, if they don't, you know, I don't really care. You know, if, I'll tell you what, though. The people who come this year are going to be like, man, I remember when that event started getting good, and I remember when it was still the smaller thing, when it was in its infancy. Because 2-3 years from now, this event's going to be huge. It's going to continue to grow. So if you guys want to be a part of it while it's small, that's cool. The website is prepstock.net. That's www.prepstock.net. Make sure you get your tickets. Come out and see us. It's going to be fantastic. Also, update on the car situation. I seem to be getting... I got two numbers for trading on my bike now, and they're both identical numbers, which I feel are both too low. And I don't think that I can take that kind of a hit on the bike, right? I don't think that I can do that. Like, to me, it doesn't make a lot of logical sense to pull the trigger on this at the moment. I talked to a coworker of mine that says one of the local banks in our area gives really good auto loans. So maybe that'll be an option I explore. Because my thought process of going through a dealer was, if I went through a dealer, I have the option to finance, right? And I could put money down, I could trade the bike in, yada, 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 and be done with it, okay? But then there was this kind of secondary thought I had, you know, if I had the extra cash I needed to just go get the car I want, so, for example, I end up selling the bike outright, and then I go to the bank and say, hey, I need a very small loan. I've got this much to put down on a car, and I'm buying one through a private seller. Maybe that would be the route to go. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with the whole car ordeal, because now it's like that itch I can't scratch, and I'm going to continuously reach for it and try to scratch it until I reach some sort of satisfaction. Today at work was a relatively... busy day. Things were crazy in our county today due to HIPAA and things like that. I cannot discuss these things, especially not on the show. But it was a very interesting day, you know, some scary stuff going on in the county. And I got to tell you, it's like it's exciting to an extent when it's like the calls are coming in. You get this like little bolt, like little rush of adrenaline, and you want to know what's going on, but you don't want to see anything bad, right? You don't want to see someone get into a car crash. You don't want to see anybody get hurt. You don't want to see these things. Like, I don't know anybody in their right mind that's sitting there like, man, I can't wait for a car wreck. I don't know anybody out there like that. Like, you go into work with the idea that nothing will happen, and then something does, and then you get this wicked adrenaline rush, and then it's lights and sirens heading out there, and you're hoping that it's not going to be a bad situation. You know, and sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, but holy crap, the adrenaline rush that comes with that is insane. There's nothing else like it. You could pay me in adrenaline if you want to. So with the job, you know, being busy, and I got stuck there late tonight because we had a meeting and things to do, and, you know, so the long and the short of this is, I don't get to track the news headlines like I'd like to, because of the job. So bear with me on these busy days. We might go off on these weird rabbit hole tangents. That just might be what happens. And that's something that I think that I might talk to Producer Scooter a little bit about. Producer Scooter, I might have an idea I got to drop on you tomorrow. By the time you get this and you start editing this, I'll be asleep. But yeah, I gotta start working up a little bit of a contingency plan here for content for you lovely folks, because days like today, I didn't get to listen to the radio. So I have no idea what's going on in the world in that sense. I was barely able to look at my phone today, so I didn't get to read through many news stories, okay? Things were just kind of out of my control today, and as soon as I finally got to sit down and say, okay, we're good, we got a break, it was time to eat, and then we got to sit down for another break, and then right back to work again. So very busy. And, oh my God, I had, I think, the best barbecue I've ever had in my life. This barbecue place we went to for lunch today, I got the smoked turkey, right? Because turkey's in the blood type-based diet. It falls in the neutral categories, so I got that. My sides with this were cornbread, okra, and collard greens. And let me tell you something. The cornbread was probably the best cornbread I've ever had, like, from a restaurant, right? It was fantastic. The turkey was tender and juicy and moist. It was fantastic. The collard greens were the perfect amount of spice, perfect amount of flavor, like they were on point. And then the okra, you know, just breaded fried okra, like, so nothing real special about it. But they dusted this with like a rub. And I don't know what rub it was, but it was fantastic. I mean, just all around, I very rarely give a restaurant 5 stars, but I gave them 5 stars and a good Google review. And I typically don't do that. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Can't get enough of Jester Dooms? Check out his other show, It's Doomsday Podcast, available on all podcast platforms. That's It's Doomsday Podcast.
Back to the show.
So Joey's administration is up to some fookery. So ladies and gentlemen, when I read a news headline or I see something, I automatically start questioning, okay, what's the end game with this? I don't look at it up front and say to myself, wow, I can't believe that's happening. My brain automatically goes to, what is the end game? And I came across this story, and I'm not even going to reference any news organizations that put it out there, because I had a hard time trying to follow these stories regardless of who put it out. But the gist of this is that Sheetz is being sued because apparently their background check policy is discriminatory and they're utilizing it to weed people out and discriminate against people. Now, okay, here's the thing. Could that be happening? Yes, it absolutely could be happening. 100%. But you have to also consider a couple things with this. So the first thing is depending on area that, you know, these particular stores might be in. And if you've never been to a Sheetz before, let me break this down. Number one, it's better than Wawa. Okay. It's going to piss a lot of people off, but it absolutely is. I grew up on Sheetz. Okay. I don't want to say I grew up on it, but a better part of my 20s was spent frequenting Sheetz, right? For sandwiches at lunch or whatever it is I needed, you know, when I was at work or whatever, I'd pop in there for lunch because there's nothing like a Sheetz MTO and being able to order whatever you want exactly how you want it. It is, it's a beautiful thing, right? And this is kind of the reality to this. As Sheetz is this convenience store, you go in, they've got computers in there, you could make your own sandwiches. You could go in there and get a BLT on a pretzel. You can go in there and get a hot Italian sub. You can go in there and get a Philly cheesesteak on whatever. You can get chicken strips. You can get some really good Dr. Pepper barbecue sauce. They've got milkshake machines. Like, the list goes on and on of the amount of awesome food you could get there, right? And the amount of things that they sell in the stores. Now, Sheetz has since branched out of the Northeast, and they're starting to make their way south pretty quickly, actually. So understand that when you have a business that sits in a certain area with a certain demographic of people and these are the only demographic that's applying and they're failing background checks, then obviously you have a large majority of that demographic not getting selected for the position based on background check. Okay, that's the one thing. The other thing is if somebody has a good, clean record and a good work record and, you know, they're a stand-up guy, they're probably not taking a job at Sheetz, if we're being honest. Unless it's like a management position or something that they can actually pay bills with, because not many people that work at Sheetz are able to pay all their bills and take care of a family of four. Let's say that, right? So you got to think that the people that are going into there and applying for these jobs may kind of be at a dead end already. They may be stuck in a position where they can't find a better job based on the fact they have a criminal record. And that's why they're going there thinking, well, maybe they'll hire me because it's just a convenience store. Now, I don't, I hate to comment on this too much, but I automatically looked at the story and said, what is the end game here? Now, the economy's in the shitter and, you know, the Bidenomics bullshit. Old Joey's like, oh, there's all these new jobs and, you know, unemployment's low, this, that, the other. Well, Joey, look, people got to work two jobs now. So unemployment rates look like they're going down because people are doubling down on work to afford your bullshit economy. All right. So that's one side of this. That is absolutely one side. People have to work more because things are getting more expensive and they're not getting a break anywhere. Unless your last name's like Zelensky, you're not getting a break. Right. So when you think about that, you think that, you know, these are people that are trying to go out there and get jobs. There may not be anything else in their area. They may be in an area that's very crime ridden. Okay. And they might have acquired charges recently and Sheetz is looking at it like, nah, man, you just got out of prison. We're not ready to undertake you as a responsibility, you know, and then there is a liability factor to this as well for any company. But I've never seen this before, and honestly, I cannot see. I think what someone did was they found, okay, there's dense numbers here of people that are being denied jobs based, and they're trying to put a discrimination spin on it. Now, what's the end game for this? Ladies and gentlemen, the end game for this is simple. They are probably at some point wanting to get rid of background checks for certain positions. Number one reason is because they want more people to be working so more tax can go out, right? More tax can go back to the government if more people are working. So if you got rid of the background checks, it would be easier for people with records to get jobs, regardless of what color their skin is. It does not matter, all right? The other thing to take into consideration with this also is if you put a line out there that says, hey, any job that is in this type of setting, a background check's no longer required to get people in there working to get the tax money, right? I mean, you're obviously going to background check, you know, your first responders and people that work in schools and things like this. You have to, all right? But somebody that works, is it really necessary to give somebody a background check that is, say, working at Dollar General or working at McDonald's for minimum wage? Does that really matter? Well, yes, it does. Absolutely. Because the general public, you know, they frequent these establishments. So you need these background checks there. You need these in place. I'm also kind of a firm believer, though, if you have a shitty background and it's been so many years since you've had any incident whatsoever, depending on the crime, number one, your background should be cleaned. I think every so often, your background should be purged. Like, here's a great example of this. Say you're 21, you're out, you get a DUI. Okay, I don't condone drinking and driving, so please don't interpret it that way. But, you know, you get this DUI when you're 21 and you're now in your mid-30s. And you haven't had any drinking problems, you haven't got another DUI, you know, you have a clean record amongst everything else. I really think that that shouldn't be something that holds you back. I don't think that should be something where it's like you want to go for a job and they see that you've had a DUI and you're like, nah, we can't hire you. Like a one-time instance that happened, you know, over 10 years ago, like, come on, man. You're going to prevent somebody from benefiting themselves for one thing that happened, you know, over a decade ago. That kind of thing. Now, when it comes to other situations, though, like crimes against kids and things like that, those kind of crimes, the bad ones, like, no. That shit needs to stay on your record because we need to know about you, right? Like, we need to know. But when it comes to some of this petty shit, like, say you're in your 20s and you got into a bad fist fight one day with somebody and you got an assault charge, and like since then it's been past 10 years, you haven't gotten any trouble. Maybe that should be something that goes away. Or maybe that should be something that doesn't hinder your employment. You get what I'm saying? Like it's really shitty when you break down that, you know, you could have one instance that happens to you in your life. Could be purely circumstantial. It could be you had a bad attorney in court, you couldn't get out of it. You could be innocent and charged. Or maybe you were so terrified because you've never dealt with the law before, never been in trouble. You took a very shitty plea deal because you were scared and didn't know what to do. And now you've got this thing looming over you forever. That's bullshit. So wouldn't it be so convenient if they said, hey, you know, these jobs don't need background checks anymore because who gives a shit about keeping the general public safe? And that ultimately could be what this leads into. If they say, hey, jobs in this setting do not require background checks anymore because we find them to be discriminatory and people are unable to feed their families. That could be a thing. Now, believe it or not, a lot of business owners have criminal records. Because say you're a guy that does gutters. The homeowner's not background checking you before you come out and put gutters on their home. They're not doing that. They're just like, hey, I need gutters. And that's, you know, so a lot of people that end up getting bad records know that it's not even worth going to apply anywhere because they won't get hired. So they find a friend, hey, man, I'm trying to get this business going. Will you throw me some money? Yeah, sure, dude. Here you go. Okay, well, I'm going to get this business going. I'll pay you back. And then a lot of the times these guys thrive because they have that drive knowing that, shit, no one's ever going to hire me for anything at any regular job. So maybe I just need to go ahead and start my own company. Anyway, we'll be right back after these messages.
Jester from It's Doomsday Podcast and the Doom Daily Show here. Do you ever find yourself overloaded with way too much information? Too many logins, too many passwords, too many websites for stuff you like? Yeah, I'm the same way. You don't have to worry about that with the Doom Daily Show and It's Doomsday Podcast. Let's make it simple. Just visit linktree.com/JesterDooms. Add it to your bookmarks. That way, when you need to find the right information, it's right there, under a tap of your finger or a click of your mouse. Go to linktree.com/JesterDooms. Get it, got it, done. Remember, no one has all the answers, but this will provide you with a place to start. linktree.com/JesterDooms.
And now, on with the conversation. And here's Jester.
Oh, now one of my most favorite things to talk about. Fracking Walmart. Ladies and gentlemen, I absolutely can't stand self-checkouts. All right? I hate self-checkout. I don't like self-checkout. And there's a bunch of different reasons why. The first reason for me is, if I'm doing the work of checking out my own items, why are they not discounted? You've got me working and checking myself out. I'm not employed by your store, but I gotta physically check out my own stuff now, okay? I don't get a discount for that, right? That clerk over there that's behind the counter that's checking my stuff out, they get an employee discount, right? Because they're scanning items and taking people's money. Well, now I'm doing that job. Why am I not getting a discount as well? That's the first reason why I can't stand it. The second reason why I can't stand it is plain and simple age-restricted items. I hate when I'm going through there and I have something in my basket or in the shopping cart that I didn't know was age-restricted. Like I'm going through there and it's like, oh, you bought a can of spray paint, age-restricted. Oh, you're buying cough medicine for your kids, age-restricted. Oh, I'm buying wine. Oh, age restricted. You know, so there are these random things I know that are going to be age restricted. And then there's like these random surprises like, oh, now great. Now I need an adult. Hey, over here. And it's always some idiot that's supposed to be helping with those that's like off talking to somebody and not where they're supposed to be, or they're playing on their phone, or, you know, they're just like staring off into space and they don't even realize the stupid red light's blinking telling them that you need assistance. So you got to like yell and shout and wave at them to get them to come over and help you. And they don't want to help you anyway. They don't want to interact with you. They're like, nah, fuck that guy. So that's the other reason why I hate it. It's like, I'm doing it all and it's great till I need somebody and then I can't get somebody. Then I'm stuck there with my thumb in my ass. Like, what do I do now? What do I do now, people? So the other reason why I hate these things is it's taking away basic human interaction, right? Like I want to talk to the person that's checking me out. I want to say, hey, you know, how's your day going? Yeah, you guys busy today? What's the word on the street? You got any good gossip? You know, just, or hey, how you doing? Or if it's someone if it's a store I go to a lot, I might know this person by name now. And I might chit chat with them every time I go out. And like, that's my little fun of going into that store is, you know, talking to whoever is at the checkout, you know. But they're wanting to start doing away with these self-checkouts because people have found it very easy to steal things from these self-checkouts. And the reality to this is, yes, there's cameras. And yes, things are there, but you have human error with everything, okay? So here's the basic reality. It's not hard to make a mistake at the self-checkout. If you got screaming kids with you, or you're with someone else, or even if you're alone and you're just overwhelmed with the amount of items you have, it happens where people forget to scan something and they run it through there. They hear the one beep next to them. They think it beeped because they heard the beep. And then they just toss it in the bag and the item never got paid for. And then not everybody's being checked on their way out and they're not scanning every item. So like, say, you know, a couple items get missed. Oops, that was an accident. Are you going to charge somebody for an accident? No, you're not. If somebody forgot to scan their $3 deodorant, you're not going to take them to jail. It was an accident. Now, it gets a little bit more devious than that, though, because there is people actually taking advantage of the system. They will show, you know, like they'll hold up a small cheap item behind a big expensive item and they'll scan it across the scanner. And on camera, it looks like that item was scanned, right? And, you know, you're not noticing this. And then as long as it's bagged and they're not getting stopped on the way out the door, no one's the wiser. So these companies are realizing that they are losing a lot of money. Somewhere in the neighborhood of $112 billion in 2022. Okay, so they're like, yeah, we got to start taking these self-checkouts out. And Walmart is the one that's mainly talking about this, I think, the most in the idea of taking these out of the stores, which I'm all for it. Take them all out. I can't stand them. I don't want them. I'd rather deal with a person anyway. Just, you know, get rid of them. I don't feel like they're 100% needed anyway. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after these messages.
Prep Stock is happening this October. Go to www.prepstock.net for more information. Prep Stock is the ultimate survival event. That's prepstock.net for all information and updates.
So there was just recently a ground beef recall. This was like posted today and yesterday about this. There's E. coli found in some of the ground beef out there, and there is a recall on it. Now, that's not the primary talking point of this segment. I'm not going to bore you guys with 7 minutes about E. coli. Will E. coli fuck you up? Oh, yes, it will. If you bought some of the beef, look up the story. If you bought some of the beef that contain the E. coli, go get your money back or just destroy it, you know, throw it away, whatever. But there's a lot of things that they don't tell you, okay, and that they use to try to scare you in regards to the food. First off, everything's contaminated all the time, right? It is. That's why we cook things to an internal temperature, right? That's why, because certain bacteria can only live up to certain temperatures and then they die. That's why a lot of different things have different internal cooking temperatures, because the bacteria that they would carry would make you sick if they weren't cooked to this particular temperature. Now, the problem with beef in the idea of E. coli is a lot of people like their burgers to be on the rarer side or whatever. So nobody's really checking the internal temperature of these things unless you're like a pro and you have a meat thermometer and you do all the stuff. Like producer Scooter probably has that stuff and he knows what to cook meats to. I mean, this man smokes some meat. You getting a visual? Anyway, so But not everybody does this. They, you know, they'll cook a steak for so long per side, they'll cut into it and be like, yeah, that's good, I'll take it that way. And they kind of do the same thing with burgers, right? So, you know, it is the reality that people could get sick based on this. But we have these cooking temperatures for a reason. Now, what I find funny is how they put this stuff out there in the masses to kind of scare the hell out of people. And I get it. It works. It's good clickbait. It's good for media. It's good for news. But you listen to this show, so you're smarter than that. So do remember, you can look up the cook temperatures of what kills things off, right? And that's just what it is. So whenever they put these things out to scare you, just be aware that it may not be something you need to be seriously, seriously, seriously worried about, right? Use your best judgment. If you bought something, if it's in the recall date and it's more than likely contaminated, get rid of it. Don't eat it. But also on the same token, realize that all the things we buy have some sort of bacteria on them anyway or in them. And we cook and we wash and we properly food prep and we cook things to the proper temperature so we don't get sick. That's why we do that, all right? That's why recipes say set your oven at this and boil for this long, because you're killing the bad, you know, you're killing the things in there that would make you sick, okay? Like, most people don't know how food is processed and how nasty some of the conditions are for the animals and where they come from and how nasty some of these processing facilities are, and if maybe Jim at work was sick that day and he had diarrhea and he didn't tell anybody and now he's handling raw meat and he's getting, you know, nasty shit in the chicken. The list goes on and on and on. But here's the thing that, like, gets me pissed off anytime we talk about food. Food in the U.S. is garbage, all right? It absolutely is. We eat very dirty food in the U.S., and nobody talks about it, but our food is so packed full of chemicals and preservatives and steroids and GMOs. It's just, the list goes on and on. We do not eat fresh here. They have condoned the idea of, we have everything you need, just buy it from the store. You don't have to grow the stuff yourself. And what they're not telling you is, it's about the amount of pesticides they use, about the amount of GMOs, you know, about the GMO food, the genetically modified organism foods. They're not showing you the inside of a processing plant. Like, you may find, like, look, here's the thing. You come to my house and you're like, oh, you got chickens. They smell. That's nasty. You eat those things? Well, yeah, because I can go down there. I can grab a chicken. I can chop that chicken's head off. I can clean it myself and then put it right in the freezer or refrigerator or cook it the same day. Your food is coming from the same conditions that my food's coming from, but then going to a facility that processes all these things that may be absolutely disgusting, all right, that maybe hasn't been visited by a health inspector in years, and their sanitation rating would be in the shitter, but no one's the wiser. And then you're not seeing the inside of the trucks it's hauled on, or who's touching it, or who's handling it. I grab that chicken, I'm the only person handling it. It's being processed in my backyard, and then it's going in the fridge. That's that travel for my chicken. Your chicken is going through so many different avenues and being exchanged through so many different hands and having so many things put in the food to prevent sickness and bacteria. It's insane. But they have us all manipulated. That you don't want to do those things. You don't want to live your life that way. Because this way is better. Just go to the store and buy it. And we'll make it easier on you with the self-checkout. It's kind of funny, just to go back to the last segment a little bit here. It's really funny that it took them this long to figure out that that was a bad idea. It's so funny to me that it took them this long with these self-checkouts to start figuring out, like, this isn't working. We're losing too much money on these things. And what's really funny is it's going to bring back jobs, because, I mean, if you go to Walmart right now and you see all the checkout lanes, like, where's all the people that work here? Well, they're all about to all be coming back to work, because as soon as they start taking those self-checkouts out, somebody has to check out your items. And I think that's going to be fan-freaking-tastic. I think that's going to be really good. But anyway, so to continue on the food thing here for a little bit, guys, it's when you leave this country and you eat other places, a tomato overseas does not taste the same way a tomato does in the States. You get chicken breast overseas, it doesn't taste the same way chicken breast tastes here. There is a totally different flavor profile. Number one, because a lot of the stuff is way, way fresher, okay? And a lot of the stuff isn't packed full of hormones to get it to grow faster and be slaughtered quicker or harvested quicker. It's not the same. And as these people are up there on the TV telling you, you know, be weary of the ground beef and do this and do that and buy more and get rid of the stuff you have. What they're not telling you is how horrible the shit is that we're eating in this country in general. And how the elitists are allowing this to happen while you sit there and continuously spend money on it. I highly encourage everybody to grow their own garden. I really, really do. And I know some of you out there that listen do. And you guys know what I'm talking about. When you bite into a fruit or a vegetable that you've grown yourself that is fresh, not from the store, you know. My mother, we had a garden every year growing up. And the one thing that came out of the garden that was like nothing else, and I wasn't a big vegetable eater as a kid, but holy shit, if we didn't have the best green beans on the planet. Because if you had green beans, they either came out of the garden or they were something that was given to you at school, right? We ate green beans in my house when they were in season, basically. And you guys know that fresh taste when it comes right out of the garden. Anyway, I'm out of here, Producer Scooter. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Everybody out there, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Okay, the email, doomdailyshow@gmail.com. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Have a lovely day.
News, facts, and opinions. This is the Doom Daily Show.